have read over this several times today, and man, just couldn't connect any thoughts in my brain, and couldn't get anything together. But I knew that this was the scripture that the Lord wanted me to use tonight. I don't know how to explain that other than, I mean, if you're a teacher or preacher, you might have some understanding of that it's, you just get set and the Holy Spirit just sort of sets you on a passage of scripture and you stay there until he gets you away from it. And I just couldn't get away from it, but also couldn't connect any thoughts or anything like that. And while we were on the way here tonight, Miss Tara, she's been with her sister today riding down there to Columbus, and y'all wouldn't believe this, but she does talk, and she will talk a lot when she gets on a roll. And so her and I were cutting up before we got here tonight, and she's been telling me a bunch of different things, and I said, man, I'm going to go preach tonight. I'm trying to collect my thoughts on the way up here. I'm going to go preach on everything you've talked to me about tonight. I'm thankful for our conversations. I'm thankful that we have an open line of communication between the two of us. That's a blessing. But we were just kind of cutting up about that. But as we were driving, she was talking, and it was almost like two people were talking to me, because the thoughts just started pouring in about the scripture that I'd been kind of meditating on and thinking about today. So I told her when we got here, I said, I'm going to sit in my truck for just a minute. And I went to typing. So y'all are getting it firsthand. Amen. Psalms 34, and we'll look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word and use it to accomplish your purpose as you said you would in Isaiah. In Jesus' name, amen. As I studied today and read and prayed, I just had some time alone with the Lord, and I thank God for that. But I read these few verses, and I couldn't, as I said, I couldn't really connect anything. And I asked the Lord, you know, what are you trying to show me here? What am I seeing? And I kept thinking maybe it was something to do with the young lions that suffer hunger. But as we got to going down the road, it was apparent that it was about the fear of the Lord. It should have been apparent to me in the first place, but it wasn't. And so when we look at the word fear here, it's not a fear of being afraid in a sense of terrified. It's the fear of having reverence and respect and honor to God. It's very similar to what should be between a child and the father. And I realize that there are some people that deal with the difficult relationships between their dad, and so they have a skewed view of what and who God is. Because the Lord, the view that we have of the Lord is very much shaped by how we, or what kind of relationship we have with our earthly father. That's just the way that our psyche works. And so not everybody had the same experiences that I did growing up. And so I have to remember that when I preach something like this. But the fear that the Lord wants us to have is not a fear of we're afraid to move, or we're afraid to take a wrong step, or it's not the sense of we're walking on eggshells that we're going to make Daddy God mad because we get too loud. You know, my brother's sitting over there. He's nodding his head. I guess he's trying to sell me something like I was last week. No, I know he'll remember this, man. We grew up in a pastor's home, and on Saturday nights, we didn't make no noise. You didn't make noise. Man, you were quiet all on Saturday night. You didn't peep. And if you come out of your room, you better had a good reason, because Daddy was studying. He was getting ready for Sunday morning, man. You had to watch your P's and Q's. You had to walk on those eggshells. And that was just what we dealt with. But when I began to study about the fear of the Lord, that's the image that came in my mind. That I had to fear the Lord and be afraid that every little move that I made or everything that I did, God was just going to come down with a belt, and He was going to pull it through His belt loops, and He was going to wear me out because I did something that I wasn't supposed to do. Or God was going to have this lightning rod just aimed at me and looking at me and have His scope on me and just ready to zap me anytime that I did anything wrong. That was my image of God. Now, I'm not trying to criticize my dad. I mean, it's just the way that I grew up. And if you ask my children, they may feel the same way about me as I felt about that. I don't know. But the type of fear that the psalmist is trying to get us to understand is a reverence toward God. That's why he says in verse number 11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And so, going back to verse number 9, he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." We know in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see a continuation of that, the fulfilling power and the fulfilling ability that God can give to His people, that any of those that are His, they're not going to want for anything, those that fear Him. And in verse number 10, it reiterates that. It says, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So not only is He going to meet of our needs, but He's going to tell us that we're not going to want any good thing that God deems was good for us. And He says, "Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, why did he say that to him? Why did the psalmist assume that we had to be taught? I believe it's because he understood how that we work. The psalmist understood how that we work. He understood that we may be thinking, well, God's got that lightning beam focused in on me, and He's going to zap me if I do one little wrong thing. Or he's gonna destroy my world if I break this law, or I break this thing, or whatever that may be that you deal with in your psyche. The image of God that you create is not the image that God is in the Bible. And if it brings about fear that is not healthy for you, here's how I know that. Verse number 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." Now, if God was the God that sets up in heaven and says, "You're going to fear me, or I'm going to strike you with lightning," He sure enough wouldn't put one of His angels there with you to deliver you. We have this view that the one thing, and believe me, I deal with this. I go through this all the time. Man, I think about something. Man, Lord, I really messed up. And I'm just waiting around the next corner for the Lord just to, you know what, I'm tired of dealing with you. Just thump me on the head and end me. But the Bible says that the Lord has encamped an angel around me. As long as I fear Him, as long as I reverence Him, He's got that angel there that's with me. And that angel's purpose is to deliver me. What's he delivering me out of? Anything that I get myself into? I've found that I have I am very prone to get myself in trouble. Yeah, maybe y'all not, but spiritually speaking, I do. I can get myself in a heap of trouble in a short amount of time. And so when I go back to think about, and we really can't even get into all the angels, but you go to thinking about the things, I mean, it wasn't but two angels that went down there and destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just two. It wasn't but one angel that defeated 180,000 men. Y'all remember that? So this angel or angels, whatever, however you want to say it, that are encamped around us, the Lord has put them there for this purpose of helping us and delivering us. It's not so that they can grab us up and snap. I mean, you think about, this story just popped in my mind, but you think about old Lot there at Sodom and Gomorrah, when them angels were in his house and them men were circling around the house, and they wanted to commit wicked acts with those angels that the Lord had sent there to deliver Lot and his family, if his family would have went. They reached out the door and they pulled him back into safety. Y'all remember that? Them angels could have, in that moment, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but they didn't. At that very moment, they could have dealt with all the sin that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. With a snap of their fingers, they could have dealt with them, but they did not do that. They went down there to deliver one man, and they pulled him back in there to make sure that he was delivered from the wicked that were right outside the door. So when I see talk about the fear of the Lord, and I see what the Lord does for us, He's so very good to us and gives us these angels to watch over us, or an angel to watch over us, and thank God for us. I find it interesting, right after verse number 7 in this passage, where it says that the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear Him and deliver them. Then it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is man that trusteth in Him." There's more learning that has to take place here about this. It's not just verse number 11, "Come you children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord," but taste and see that the Lord is good. Why is He telling us all this? Well, I believe it's because there's some benefits to us fearing the Lord. And here are the thoughts that came through my mind as I'm listening to Miss Tara talk and riding up here. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but our Master Clubs and Seven Life, they are big on the kids bringing the Bibles. I love that. And they give the kids over there, they give them rewards if they bring their Bible consistently, kind of like we hand out these pens. And so we're riding up here tonight, and we got in a truck to leave, and Lane said, "Oh, Dad, I got to go get my Bible. I left it in my bedroom. Can I go get my Bible?" I'm like, "Son, I done locked the door. We liable to be late." I'm like, "Come on, man. I got to have it, Daddy." And so he jumps out of the truck, and he runs in through the garage door, and when he does, he leaves the garage door open. Well, we got some outdoor cats, and they decide to make themselves at home. And so we got two cats that run in the garage, and then he leaves the door going from the garage into the house open, and so the cats decide, "Hey, look at this warm air. Let's go in there too." And they run in there, so then Miss Tara gets out of the truck because, you know, he's not going to herd cats, but she will. I mean, she's been doing it for 20 years, but herding cats. But they go back in there and they get that, and so we come back out, and I notice, guess what? He don't have a Bible in his hand. And so I didn't say nothing to him other than, "Hey, man, you need to make sure you shut the door behind you so the cats don't run in." Tara gets in the truck, and we come up here, and man, we got all the way, we live out there in Mount Zion, we got all the way to the exit down here at Liberty Road, and as we turn on the exit, Lane goes, "Ah, I know where my Bible is." And so he describes in detail. So Miss Tara's talking. He's describing in detail where his Bible is, where he left it, and how he knew it was there. I hope he found his Bible. I haven't seen him since we got here. So I hope it was where he thought it was. But I also kind of hope that maybe one of them teachers over there grabbed it and make him sweat a little bit more. Shouldn't have left it. Amen. So we had all of that going on, and I just asked the Lord, "Lord, you got to give me something. I'm about to be preaching here in just a minute, but I believe there's some benefits that come from fearing the Lord." So here they are, and where better to find knowledge about the fear of the Lord than in the book of Proverbs? So we're going, I got them already typed out here, so we'll be flipping. I'm going to hear a lot of Bible pages flipping. But Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now we know that wisdom is the application of knowledge, or the proper application of knowledge. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding, is what these two verses say. So as I thought about that, I thought the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Man, where do we get, as Christians, where do we get that wisdom and instruction? We get it from the Lord. And anybody, when someone is trying to teach you something, you have to have a respect for them. If you don't have a respect, I see it all the time, man. I walk through these schools and some of these kids, they don't have no respect for that teacher that's up in front of their classroom. They could give a rip less about whether or not they're up there in front of them. They don't respect them. The faculty and staff often don't support them, and the parents, sure enough, don't respect them either. And so you got these kids up here or that are in there, and they're not listening, and the teacher's just trying to make them know things so that they can go on about their merry way, and you have this tense conflict going on inside of every classroom because there's no respect, there's no reverence there. If you don't think it happens, you come with me and we'll walk through a school. So there's no reverence there. There's no respect. And when we are foolish and we don't respect and fear the Lord, we despise wisdom and instruction. He's put this angel here with us that encamps around us, and that angel keeps us safe and protects us and delivers us from all the snares that we get caught in. But we wouldn't get caught in a snare if we'd listened to the Lord from the get-go. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is what the Bible teaches us. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility." The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So we gain wisdom by listening to the Lord. So here's the benefits. I know, I'm still hearing Bible pages. I like it too. Because y'all done got to 15, now you're fixing to go back to chapter 10. Proverbs 10:27 says, here's the first benefit. I want to give it to you. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I believe that a physical benefit of fearing the Lord is longer life. I don't know what kind of lifespan that the Lord has appointed to you. I don't know. I don't think any of us know. But I can tell you, over years of experience in pastoring, that those who have a healthy fear for the Lord tend to live longer than those who reject Him. And so the Bible teaches us this principle that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The Lord, the Bible talks about how that He will satisfy us with long life. When we fear the Lord, when we have that healthy reverence from Him, we find that we have a longer lifespan. That might be 50 years for you. It might be 75 years for you. It might be 100 years for you. I heard that one goofy rascal, Kenneth Copeland, said he wasn't dying until 2056. I thought, Lord, help us all. Yeah, I think he's a goofy rascal. If you've ever wondered whether your pastor or not supports that man, I do not. He preaches heresy. Y'all okay? He preaches ungodliness. And I can't find anywhere in the Scripture where the Lord said that if you'll sow a seed, that He'll bless you all over and He'll have all these things. And He sure enough ain't wanting us to spend money on a private jet. All right, let me quit meddling. Our fear of the Lord will bring us a longer lifespan. You think about how that God can, why would God give us a longer life? Because God can get more glory out of you. You ever talk to somebody that was up in age and they were sweet and they had spent time with the Lord and they loved the Lord and they had feared the Lord and you compliment them and they say something along the lines of, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. That's called fearing the Lord. I wouldn't be to the age that I am. I wouldn't enjoy what I enjoy now. I wouldn't got to see my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren if it wasn't for the Lord. That's a fear of the Lord. We finished up Job. Was it yesterday morning or this morning? We finished up the book of Job. If you're reading along with us in the Bible reading there, and the Bible says that Job died being full of years. God had given him all of the life. God had given him double what he had before he lost everything. He gave him back his 7 sons and his 3 daughters. And the Bible specifically mentions that there were no other women so fair as the daughters of Job that were there in the land in that time. And so early on, all the things that Job went through, Job's wife went to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to remove my integrity from me." You know why? Because Job had a fear of the Lord. And God prolonged his days so that he got to see his great-grandchildren be born. That's just in the story of Job alone and many, many others. You think about Enoch. He was not because he walked with God. Who was Enoch's father? Or who was the son of Enoch? Methuselah. 969 years. Don't you think he saw something of walking with the Lord? If dad, what, do I got that right? Or is it Methuselah? I don't know. They walked with the Lord, they had long life. You talk to some of these people, they'll say, "Well, it was a different time. There was double atmospheric pressure." I don't know all about that. I do know that God satisfied them with long life. And as wicked men grew and waxed worse and the fear of the Lord waned, the life expectancy came down. Just tonight we were talking about a family that we know, a little less than godly folks. We'll call them that on a nice. One of them took his own life and the other one died young. We don't always understand that. And I'm not criticizing, please understand that. But I am saying that when there is a fear of the Lord, biblically speaking, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord prolongs the days of man. So there's another thing that I found here that pertains to our life in the book of Proverbs. There's a Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. I've said this before, and I think I have a message entitled this: he's a place to go when you've gone too far. He's the giver of life, and thank God for that, but he's this place of strong confidence. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to have strong confidence within myself. That means that I'm going to have strong confidence in him. That means when I fear the Lord, I can run to him for anything in my life, any problem that I deal with, any situation that I go through, any confidential matter that I need to discuss with the Lord, I can do that. There is nothing too private that I can't take to the Lord Jesus. There is nothing too intimate that I can't tell the Lord about. There is nothing too secure to me that I can't give to Him. And the reason is because He is a place of strong confidence. And when I put my fear in Him, I say, you know what, I've got enough respect, I've got enough reverence, I've got enough trust in the Lord that I can take this very precious thing to me, this intimate thing, this difficult thing, this special thing, and I can give it to the Lord. And the Lord's not going to dangle it over my head and embarrass me with it. The Lord's not going to bring me up in front of the church and embarrass. Now, He might if I keep on doing it. Amen? Y'all okay? If I keep pursuing that thing and I don't forsake it and get away from it, He might just love me enough. He does just love me enough to go ahead and let it come all out. And believe me, it will. Be sure your sin will find you out. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm trying to say that even the matters that we think are too private, too emotional, too intimate, we can take those things to the Lord, and the Lord understands them and will lead us through them. He is a place of strong confidence. Not me. I'm not a place of strong confidence. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this flesh. It fails me a lot. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. I'm glad that I have this place, this secret place of the Most High, as He's called in one other part of the Bible, and I don't have it written down here, that I can go to when during my life that God has given me, that the storms rage and the winds blow and the thunder crashes and the lightning strikes and all of these bad things are going on and all this tough time. Did you know that sometimes people go through a storm and don't nobody see the storm but the person that's in it? To my knowledge, on the night of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples and Jesus are the only people that know about that storm. We don't read anywhere else in the Word of God where it says, and there was a great storm that night. To my knowledge, there's no history about that event, and there is historical books written by, one of them is written by a man named Josephus. He was a historian in Israel, and he recorded events that confirm Jesus and confirm the disciples. We don't have anywhere else where it said this storm. So you have these disciples, they're out there on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm just seemingly sporadic arises, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And thank God for that story. He was their place of refuge. That is symbolic as well as physical. It was the Lord delivering them in that time. And of course, we know that that's where Peter walked on the water. And we talk a lot about that. And you hear a lot of people talk about that. And I'm about to, if you've never heard this before, this might hurt your feelings a little bit. But the Lord never tells Peter to get out of the boat. He never told him to get out of the boat. Not one time does He instruct him. You go ahead and you read that story and see if you can find it. He never tells him to get out of the boat. He tells him, get in the boat, go to the other side. He doesn't say, you get out of the boat. If it starts storming, you come walking to me. He didn't say that. Here's what happened. Peter said, Lord, if it's You, let me come to You. And here's what the Lord said to glorify Himself and to honor Himself. Come. Yes, sir, big boy, it's Me. I'm your place of refuge. The miracle in that story is not that Peter walked on the water. The miracle in that story is that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to meet them where they were in the midst of their storm. We have a very humanistic view of the Bible. We want the glory because we think Peter got glory for walking on the water that night. But that wasn't who got glory. The Lord Jesus Christ got glory for that. I hear a lot of people, we talk about, I don't know why I'm blasting this, here you go, we talk about Peter's faith. I don't think he had a whole lot of faith. Matter of fact, in just a few months, he's going to tell them, I don't even know who that is, and he's going to cuss so everybody thinks that he's not a disciple. Does that sound like a great man of faith? Sounds a lot like me. You okay? And so when we try and anything that takes the focus off of Jesus and puts it on another character in the Word of God, it's not on it. It's about the Lord. All that was free. He is a place of strong confidence. He is a place that we can go when life is too difficult and things are going crazy. The Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. And this refuge is an eternal refuge. One more, and then I'll, you know, Baptist three-point sermon. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 27, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have, and that they might have it more. We all know that scripture and thank God for it. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. I'm not talking about the longevity of life anymore. I'm talking about quality of life now. Not quantity. We talked about that at the beginning, but now we're talking about the quality of life. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Fountains continuously flow. Fountains pour in abundance. Fountains give even when nobody's there to receive. Fountains continue. Fountains flood. And when we have the fear of the Lord, we find a fountain of life, quality of life that is unimaginable. This abundant life. He told that little woman there that she would have a well of water, and that well of water would be, in John chapter 4, that well of water would be springing up inside of her. He put a fountain inside that little lady. Now, what do you think He's done for us Christians? He didn't stop with her. And so we have this fountain of life that the Lord has given to us, and it comes from the fear of the Lord, and it helps us to depart from the snares of death. You walk through a deadly world every single day. You walk through an area where the devil is going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You're constantly in that area. You're constantly in predicaments. You're constantly dealing with troubles and trials and difficulties and things. As we talked about, the reasons why we need the place of strong confidence. We know those things happen, but the Lord has placed inside of Christians this fountain of life, this fear of the Lord that He's given to us. This is where Christians get to have joy that others don't understand. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, now I'm going to say this. We can use the fruit of the Spirit and the abundant fountain of life as a synonymous term because they are produced by the same person. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That fountain of life, that's what it's spewing out, love. That's how we're able to love people that we don't really want to love. You ever had to do that? Love somebody you didn't particularly want to love? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Did you know that we don't base our joy on the events of the day? No, no, no. Our joy is based on the fountain of life in our fear of the Lord. Peace. Peace like a river. Peace that passeth all understanding. Peace that carries us through. Man, you got somebody that's got love, joy, and peace. They're living a pretty abundant life, ain't they? Long suffering. You might have to go through something for a while. You might have to forbear and forgive one another for a while. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. This fountain of life. I've preached before, the Lord gives us a measure of faith. But what I've neglected to say is that the more we trust Him, the more He increases that measure of faith. And so it becomes a fountain. When I came here as pastor, Brother Jeff, thank God for him, great man of faith. There's a lot of other men of faith in this church there too. I was thinking about when to build this building, they began talking about it, and Jimmy Owens had a tractor out here the next day and was breaking ground. You didn't know where the money was going to come from? Nope, but let's go ahead and do it. That's faith. Now, he's in heaven. And other men. And so when I came here, we were sitting in a table and they were telling me about things. I think church had, and it seems so small now, doesn't it? But we're looking back, I think they told me, said, well, we got $119,000 worth of debt. And I'm thinking, man, I ain't never even seen $119,000. You tell me you got $119,000 worth of debt. And I remember CT saying, but our building's worth a lot of money. And they were telling me all of these things. And I remember starting out here in all the ministries, and I came from a congregation that wasn't as diligent in working for the Lord as this congregation is. And so to learn that took a lot of faith, and it took years for the Lord to grow my faith to walk alongside of these that had already seen God move and was already seeing God doing something. And it was like 2 years later, man, we paid in full that $119,000, like nothing. I mean, it just went by just that quick. And then the other thing, the improvements downstairs, and I don't know if you've been down there to the youth room and the old fellowship hall lately, but if you hadn't, you need to go check that out too. There's a lot of things happening, and all these things are going on. The Lord's doing them debt-free. It just comes out of nowhere. Me and Brother Walt were talking about this at the beginning of the service. It just seemingly comes out of nowhere. No, the Lord sends it when we need it. But it takes some growth in faith to believe that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. It takes a fountain of faith, and the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that the Spirit of God will produce. The Spirit of God produces in you and I the fear of the Lord. It's a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. All the things that would stop us from the quality of life that we can have. Does that mean that we're going to have every little want and every desire? No. No, no, no. Because sometimes our wants are not what we need. Matter of fact, I would say most of the time our wants are not what we need. Does that mean that I'm going to be able to go get every gun that I see? No. Or get every vehicle. You know what? You can have a brand new truck and still not be satisfied. Yeah, every month. I get real dissatisfied around the first of the month. Well, it ain't writing a pen no more. It's tapping on a phone. It's all electronic now. All of these different things. And we've talked about those before. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and He takes real good care of us. I got one more thing I want to give to you. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." There are times when the fear of the Lord needs to be, if I participate in this, I got some consequences that's coming. And by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. God's mercy and His Word will purge the iniquity out of us. When we start thinking, hey, maybe I could do this and get away with it. Maybe I could have this and keep on. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know what? The Lord sure has been good to me, maybe we'd say in our mind. And so therefore, I'm going to honor Him with how I walk in my life. Ephesians says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly. circumspect. Do you know what that word means? Paying attention to one's own behavior. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It is the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that gives us long life. It is the fear of the Lord that's a place to go to when we've gone too far. It is the fear of the Lord that gives us a quality of life, abundance in living. But it's the fear of the Lord that keeps us from the iniquity. It was the fear of the Lord that gave the writer of Hebrews the ability to say, laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. It was the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that helps us to lay those things aside and keep going for Him. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. These are the benefits of fearing the Lord. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I thank You, Lord, for allowing me to preach tonight. I thank You, Lord, for giving me the thoughts that You gave to me, and I thank You, Lord, for allowing me to share them with Your people and to give them to them. And I pray, Lord, that You will take Your word and You will cause these verses to sit down in our hearts, and we would hear them and understand them, and we would meditate on them. And for this, Lord, we would serve You more fervently. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for what You'll continue to do for us. Thank You for what You're doing in this church. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.